Well, I think it's a great privilege to be able to give your salvation testimony. I would love to hear each of your stories. That's one of my favorite things, is to hear people's salvation testimonies and how the Lord drew them to Christ. But I get to give mine tonight. I'm going to kind of start with my parents. My dad was 16 years old, and his mom and dad were saved, but maybe not real grounded. And at his mom's church, they were having revival services. And so his mom just begged and begged him to come to the revival services. And he was kind of straying away at 16 a little bit, and had not been in church totally all the time. Well, he decided to go to those revival services, but he had vowed when he was 10 years old that he would not cry anymore. So he must have had some kind of bout with it. But that is what kept him from getting saved night after night, was he knew he would cry if he went forward. But the last night, he said, tears or no tears, I'm getting saved. So he got saved, and he did cry, and he cried many times after that. But I'm so thankful for a daddy who accepted Christ and how that changed my life. And at the urging of his mother, and he also had a friend that was a good friend that was trying to urge him toward the Lord. And then my mother, her whole family was lost, and they went to church on Easter and Christmas, and the pastor at that church just loved them, and he would come by over and over and over, and it ended up that my mother started going faithfully, and as she heard the word of God, she began to be convicted, and eventually she accepted Christ as her Savior, and she was the first one of her family, and every member of her family ended up getting saved. That pastor just continuously came by and presented the gospel in a loving way. And my grandfather got saved shortly before he died, and he was the last member of the family. So I started out in a Christian home. My parents grew greatly in the Lord. One of my favorite things about them is they both had a real relationship with the Lord. They didn't just have a show, and I'm so thankful for that, because that impacted me. But as I grew up hearing the gospel and hearing, you know, all the things that children do who grow up in a Christian home, in a good Christian home, I became under conviction at the age of 5. And my mother had prayed that I would be under deep conviction, because she knew I was hearing all that I should hear, and knew that I might need to get saved early, but she wanted me to remember it. So her prayer was definitely answered, and I was under deep conviction. I knew that I was a sinner, that I needed Christ as my Savior, the only way to go to heaven, that I deserved to go to hell, but I would not give in. I wouldn't repent of my sins and take the free gift that he offered to me. And at 5 years old, that just seems a little strange, to be so prideful, I guess, was my deal. I would cry through every invitation, and the little bus kids I was sat with ended up pushing me, go forward, stop that, you know, just get over with, or whatever. And I would go back to my seat and would not. One day we almost had an accident in my car, and my daddy used the opportunity and said, Lisa, if we'd had an accident and been killed, where would you go? And I remember crossing my arms and slumping back in the seat and saying, I'd go to hell. And I can't imagine what that must have done to my parents. But through a process of time, the Lord worked on me. And one day I got up, and my mother was having her devotions in her normal spot on the couch. And I went and sat beside her. And as a mother, she must have known. And she said, you're ready to give in, aren't you? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she went through the whole gospel, even though I had already known it. And I accepted Christ as my Savior that day. And I remember jumping around the living room, because I was only 5, just jumping and jumping and jumping, and I hadn't heard of Pilgrim's Progress, but my great burden was gone, and I was so thankful for that. And many times I've thought of how amazing it is that the Lord would give me a second chance after I'd had so many chances like that to be saved and to hear the gospel already. And yet as a little 5-year-old, I can just picture, you know, a little 5-year-old shaking her fist in Almighty God's face and saying no. And yet he was so merciful to me to let me be saved. Shortly thereafter, I got baptized. I was terrified of water. And so it took a couple months of battling with it before I surrendered, and when I got baptized, when I stood on my tiptoes, the water came up to my lip. So I remember just standing there, you know, on my tiptoes trying to keep the water down. But I surrendered to the Lord that day and was baptized. Shortly after that, my dad went to the wilds for a winter retreat. And he was running around the lake with the teenagers, and it was cold, and he slipped and fell in the water and had a massive heart attack. Nearly died then when I was five. That was actually, it was almost on my birthday of six. And after that, he lived until I was 14 years old, but had repeated heart trouble after that, and then he passed away when I was 14. I went back to live with my grandmother and my mother and sisters, all of us, and obviously that was an extremely trying time for our family. But people in our church loved us, and they gave money so that I could go to the wilds myself. And I went, and I remember one of the services that Frank Garlock was preaching. And you know how preachers do. They point you out. You think they're pointing right at you. And he pointed, I was sitting about right down here close to where Mr. Coffey's sitting, and he pointed down and looked me in the eye and said, if God wants you to be a single missionary to Africa, you need to be willing to do it. And I was just terrified. I could see myself in the mud hut with the natives walking around outside, and the whole rest of the service, I just struggled and struggled with that thing. And by the end, I surrendered to the Lord for whatever the Lord would have me do. But I felt like, as time went on, I felt like I would marry a pastor. And I definitely did marry the best one in the world to me. And I'm so thankful for the opportunities that God has given me. When we came here, I was 26 years old and had a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and an almost 2-year-old, and no Caleb. So it's been a long time, and the Lord has used Pastor and Mrs. Surrett greatly, and all of you. I just appreciate what the Lord's done in my life so far.
I, too, was born into a godly home. My dad was saved, actually, at a CEF Bible club. A lady went into a very poor community, basically, and migrant workers. They would pick fruit in Michigan, and then they would go to Florida and pick fruit and drive back to Michigan and lived in what they called Shantytown. It was that bad of little houses. But she got a burden for those boys and girls and began to teach them the Bible. And eventually my dad came to know Christ as his Savior. And really, she continued to be an influence on my dad probably until I was 20, 22 years old. I don't know exactly when she died. Was just a godly lady and was really a very good influence on my dad. When my mom and dad got saved, they were in a little church. There was really no good Baptist church in our area. We tried to start one with this lady. She was the most spiritually mature, but my dad kind of did some Bible teaching there as a brand new believer because she knew she couldn't stand up and preach. So she would teach my dad things, and my dad would stand up and teach the people, and it was just a really struggling little church. My dad had an opportunity to go to New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico, when I was five. And a ministry position there, and I spent some time there, then came back home and applied to Bible college after he surrendered to preach. But when my dad got saved, he could not read and write. He did not go past the third grade because his father was an alcoholic, was a really horrible man. And so the time my dad was about four, he worked 10, 11, 12 hours a day, which is hard for us to even imagine, picking fruit and things. So he never got an education. The Bible college turned him down, naturally, and so my dad went back to night school, and I watched as a young boy my dad struggle through night school, learn to read, learn to write, go through all that process, and then reapplied at the same Bible college. We moved there in 1977, and my dad eventually graduated from that college and went on to serve the Lord. We joined Temple Baptist Church in Lakeland, Florida, in Temple Christian School, not immediately when we moved to Lakeland, but not too far into it. And I was a part of the Christian school there. It was a wonderful Christian school. And every just about every winter. I don't remember how many of them. He can probably tell you. The Comforts, Brubakers, I think the Cadwells, we've talked maybe the Gilmores, other evangelists would park at our church. Florida's a good place to park at Christmas as an evangelist, right? Better than Minnesota or somewhere, I guess. And Dr. Comfort preached just one service that year, December 18th, 1982. And I knew the gospel. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that Jesus died on the cross. I knew all the truth of it, but I had never applied it personally. And I remember from the very back row, clenching the pew, but giving in and going forward, and God saved me. There was not a lot of change on the outside because I was a part of the Christian school and part of our youth group and so forth, but there was an enormous change on the inside. Who would have thought we would work together all these years later? What a blessing that is. Both my wife and I, the same summer at the Wilds, though I don't believe we were at the same camp together. I think she went a different week than I, but I'm not positive about that. But that summer, we both surrendered our lives to the ministry, whatever God wanted us to do. That was in 1984. I had watched my dad go through some really difficult days in the ministry, some people who were very unkind to him. And I just really was turned off by that. And my wife's father had been through much the same thing. He had multiple heart attacks on a platform as a church just viciously attacked him through words and just a lot of things. And so I thought, okay, I've surrendered to the ministry, but you know, I really just don't want to go through that. And so I decided to join the Marine Corps. And I know. It was, yeah. And I remember thinking, you know, when I went in the Marine Corps, and I know it doesn't make sense now, but, you know, this little brain was thinking Bible college was bad, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I remember about the third night in boot camp, I thought, you know, I don't think Bible college could be that bad. I mean, it has to be easier than this, you know. But the Lord has a sense of humor as well. I told him then, I'll go to Bible college. I promise, you know. And he told me that's okay. He'd wait 4 years to let me go. I was hoping he'd get me out right then. I'd have taken him up on it. We surrendered our lives to the Lord and began working at a little church in Grafton, Virginia, as youth pastor there. Looking back on it, the pastor was crazy to give me that opportunity. But boy, we grew and our youth group grew. God did some wonderful things. We then transferred in the Marine Corps to Jacksonville, North Carolina. Again, worked in the youth department there. Had a wonderful ministry. Left the Marines in 1990 and moved to First Baptist Church of Pine Hills, Florida. It was a Southern Baptist church. We had somewhat grown up in a very harsh, unloving independent Baptist church, and we just were really turned off by that. We had been burned, particularly in the church we were in Jacksonville, North Carolina. They had really done some things unfairly, and so we thought, okay, well, we'll go to this church, and we did, loved it. It was a very conservative, solid, great church. They paid for my education. I worked on staff as a janitor there, and God just did a great work in our lives. We eventually became music and youth pastor, yes, and they made me sing as I candidated at that church, which was horrible. But anyway, I was music and youth there for about a year and 3 months. Then we moved to Louisiana, where I was also music and youth pastor of the man who was originally at Pine Hills as youth pastor, took a senior pastorate and asked us to come out and be a part of First Baptist Church of Shudren. It was at this church, though, the man was conservative, loved God. I knew that I could not stay long-term in the Southern Baptist Convention. There were too many things that I felt like I was going to have to take a stand on and was already beginning to take those stands, and they were pretty unpopular. And so Tom Farrell was preaching at Southland Christian Camp in Ringgold, Louisiana. And so I drove over to meet with Brother Farrell, and he said, you know, Jim, he said, you'd never finished your education. I think you ought to go to Ambassador, finish your degree, and see where God takes you from there. And so we did. We called. Actually, Dr. Comfort called me the next morning and said, I understand Tom Farrell's recommended you here. And I said, yes, sir, he has. He said, you're accepted if you want to come. I don't. To this day, I'm not sure they have an application on me at the college. Maybe they do somewhere. But we moved here with that in mind. And the first summer we were here, we actually spent at Camp Chautauqua. Spent four months there on the staff there. And when we came home with a travel trailer, a 35-foot travel trailer, 32-foot of living space. There were three of us, three kids at the time. Caleb was born while we lived in that travel trailer. And the Swearingens allowed us to park in their parking lot. We lived there, year and a half or so, something like that. I think we moved, parked in August and stayed there till the following March, a year and plus. And it was during that time that Pastor asked me to come and be on staff as a volunteer youth pastor. We joined Emmanuel as a church member who loved this place with no idea that we would ever be on staff here. That was in 95. In 96, May of 96, church voted to begin paying me part-time on Sunday. Caleb was born on Thursday. So that we always remember when that transpired, with an idea that in 5 years I would be full-time here at the church. And by May of 97, I was full-time. And God just did some tremendous things. And have a graduate of theology from the college and working on some other degrees. I'm about 8 hours in a thesis short of my master's degree and a couple other things that I need to do. Lord willing, we'll graduate with that in a couple of years. We have four children, as most of you know. Two of them married, one close to being married. Right? to Ben. And three grandchildren. I went ahead and listed London. She's due 3 weeks from today, and we already have London, okay? She's just still in the incubator at this point. And we're grateful for the Lord, what He's done in our lives. We could never imagine. When we left Shudrant, Louisiana, we honestly, our hearts were broken leaving there. We thought, we love that ministry, and we thought we'll never have a ministry that we love like that place, but God has certainly given us that. It's been a wonderful privilege.